I'd like to also welcome you in the name of our Lord and Saviour Jesus Christ. I'd like to start this morning, and I'm sure you are all very familiar with the scripture, and it's in the Book of Mormon, and it's on page 212. And I'm going to start with just one verse in there. And it says, "Behold, I say unto you that..." Wrong one. "And behold, I tell you these things, that ye may learn wisdom, that ye may learn..." I want you to consider that for a second. I am going to retire next year. And I asked God, I said, what does that look like for me? I can fill my life with many things. I kind of like to work. But I also know that God has given me abilities, and every one of them, you know, I praise Him for them. But I want to serve God. And so what does that look like? And so I'd been praying about this several weeks ago, and actually I've been continue to pray about it. And it was after Potluck Sunday here a couple of months ago that there was a couple that were in the visitor center and visited with them. I mean, there was no one else left in the church by the time we'd got done visiting, and they were late for going where they needed to go, and my wife was sitting out in the truck for the last hour and a half. I love to talk about the gospel. I mean, it is something that just I can't get enough of. And so she was telling me about the things that she did, and that scripture comes to mind right there. She did great work for not only her community, but also her church. And I thought, what kind of work would you have me do? Was it at the visitor center? Where is it at? What is it that you would desire that I would do for you, Lord? And, you know, and I thought about it, and I thought, you know, I had a job like that, where I was a maintenance man at a hospital. I got to pray with people. I got to talk about the gospel every day with people. And I thought that's where God wanted me to be. Lost that job. Not really through any fault of my own, but I lost that job. And it devastated me. Really made me look at what God had wanted me to do, because I know He had given me that job. Since then, I couldn't care less about a job, because there's always, wherever I go, whatever job I have, there's always someone that I get to talk about the gospel with, and it makes a difference in their lives, I think. I don't know that for certain, but there's some people that have just seemed to be singled out. And so, I want you to go to the 8th chapter of Acts. And I'm going to start in the 4th verse. And this is Philip. "Therefore, they that were scattered abroad went everywhere preaching the word. Then Philip went down to the city of Samaria, and preached Christ unto them. And the people with one accord gave heed unto those things which Philip spake, hearing and seeing the miracles which he did. For unclean spirits crying with loud voices came out of many that were possessed with them, and many taken with palsy and that were lame were healed. And there was great joy in the city." This man did great miracles. 12th verse. But when they believed Philip preaching the things concerning the kingdom of God and the name of Jesus Christ, they were baptized, both men and women. And Simon himself believed also, and when he was baptized, he continued with Philip and wondered and beholding the miracles and signs which were done. Now, when the apostles which were at Jerusalem heard that Samaria had received the word of God, they sent unto him Peter and John, who, when they were come down, prayed for them that they might receive the Holy Ghost. For as yet he was not fallen upon none of them, only they were baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus. Then laid they their hands on them, and they received the Holy Ghost. So there was great miracles going on, right? You know, we wonder about, you know, how many people here we have, or, you know, why we don't, you know, have food pantries and all kinds of things like that, like the big churches. We have aspirations, don't we? We want to be a big dog. You know, how many people do you think we could field for a soup kitchen or something like that? We've had people that have left because we're, as one of our ministers said one day, he says, we're a do-nothing church. It's not that. It's not feasible for us to have a bus that runs around and picks up kids that, you know, it's just not the way that we are. We don't have the resources. And I think sometimes we think that we could do all these things. We don't have God's wisdom as far as that goes. So being in the service of your fellow men, right? What does that look like for each and every one of you? Everyone has a different answer about that, don't they? But when the Spirit speaks expressly to you, it's very targeted. And I found that through great tribulation sometimes, that, like losing that job, that God had a work for me somewhere else. I would have never quit that job. I loved that job. I felt that I was exactly where God wanted me to be. So if God said to me, I want you to give this job up, I need you to go somewhere else, would I have done it? The answer is probably not. So I want to go over here to that same chapter, the 26th verse. And the angel of the Lord spake unto Philip, saying, arise and go towards the south, into the way that goeth down from Jerusalem and to Gaza, which is desert. And he arose and went, and behold, a man of Ethiopia, and a eunuch of great authority under Candace, queen of Ethiopia, who had the charge of all her treasure, and had come to Jerusalem for to worship, was returning and sitting in his chariot, read Isaiah the prophet. And the Spirit said unto Philip, go near and join thyself to the chariot. Do you want to hear God's voice? Do you desire that? Or is it just okay to go and do service? Don't get me wrong. It's important, but that's not what God is doing here. If we are His, you best be listening to that Spirit. And Philip ran hither to the to him and heard him read the prophet Isaiah and said, understandest thou what thou readest? And he said, how can I accept some man should guide me? And he desired Philip that he would come up and sit with him. The place of the scripture which he had read was this. He was led as a sheep to the slaughter, and like a lamb dumb before a shearer, so opened he not his mouth. In his humiliation, his judgment was taken away, and who shall declare this generation? For his life is taken from the earth. And the eunuch answered Philip and said, I pray thee, of whom speaketh the prophet this? Of himself or of some other man? Then Philip opened his mouth and began at the same scripture and preached unto him Jesus. And as they went on their way, they came unto a certain water. And the eunuch said, see, here is water. What doth hinder me to be baptized? And Philip said, if thou believest with all thine heart, thou mayest. And he answered and said, I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. He commanded the chariot to stand still, and they went down both into the water, both Philip and the eunuch, and he baptized him. And when they had come up out of the water, the Spirit of the Lord caught away Philip, that the eunuch saw him no more, and he went on his way rejoicing. If God is in this, he places people in our paths that it's not our job to do that. He is the one in charge of that. Is it the testimony that you have about how he works in your life? You see, you couldn't find a job. When I lost that job, I couldn't find a job anywhere except helping a friend down in southern Missouri. You know, a man got divorced after 35 years. I'd been through one many years ago, and I remember it like it was yesterday. It's the thing that brought me to the gospel. Changed who I was in dramatic ways. There was lots of things that would happen. I mean, we'd be driving along, and I'd ask him, I'd say, why are we going this way? So I knew my way around pretty good. I don't know, the Lord just told me to go this way. Pretty soon, the tire would blow on the trailer right next to the tire shop. You know, I blew a hydraulic line on the backhoe, and I had to have this rock moved. And this was one of the jobs was at this big golf resort. I mean, it was beautiful. We build monuments to men everywhere, doesn't matter where. But anyway, this rock had to be moved that day. And so had to go to a place, get a line made, put it on. And so it was almost dark before I got finished. And then people would come through this golf resort and look at all the things that they'd done. And there was this couple that walked out of the door right as I got done with the last scoop of rock. Got to talk to them about the gospel, about the Book of Mormon. You think it was by accident? I mean, it cost my friend a hydraulic line. I can tell you stories just like that all day long. Those things are not in our control, but yet his timing is perfect. Which one do you want to be? You want to be like Philip, Or do you just want to be in service to your fellow man? You know, it's a good question. I mean, we look at the things that we can't do as a church. It's not that. God knows where we're at. It's not numbers. We'd like to think it was, but it's not numbers. It is quality. It is the love that we're supposed to have for one another and for our fellow man. But the one thing that we're missing is the Spirit of God. That it has to guide our lives, that when God says something, we're supposed to be able to hear it. I want to go to page 40 in the Book of Mormon. I'm going to start in verse 224. And it came to pass that I looked and beheld the whore of all the earth, and she sat upon many waters, many churches, right? And she had dominion over all the earth among all nations, kindred, tongues, and people. And it came to pass that I beheld that the church of the Lamb of God and its numbers were few, because of the wickedness and abominations of the whore who sat upon many waters. Nevertheless, I beheld that the church of the Lamb, who were the saints of God, were also upon all the face of the earth. And their dominions upon the face of the earth were small because of the wickedness of the great whore whom I saw. And it came to pass that I beheld that the great mother of abominations did gather together in multitudes upon the face of all the earth among all the nations of the Gentiles to fight against the Lamb of God. And it came to pass that I, Nephi, beheld the power of the Lamb of God, that it descended upon the saints of the church of the Lamb and upon the covenant people of the Lord who were scattered upon all the face of the earth, and they were armed with righteousness and with power of God and great glory. Which one do you want to have? It's a no-brainer, isn't it? This wasn't the message I wanted to give today, but I think it's important because the many waters, I believe, is many different churches. You know, we worry about people. You know, other churches taking our people. If you were fed by the Spirit, you would never want to leave. You know that. Page 370 in the Book of Mormon. This is about Ammon. And I'm going to start in the, and it's the 12th chapter of Alma. And I'm going to start in the 103rd verse. And then Ammon said, "Believest thou that there is a great spirit?" And this is talking to the king, right? Done mighty miracles before this. And he said, yea. And Ammon said, "This is God." And Ammon said, "Unto him again, believest thou that the great spirit who is God created all things which are in heaven and in earth?" And he said, "Yea, I believe that he created all things which are in heaven and earth, but I do not know the heavens." And Ammon said unto him, "The heavens is a place where God dwelleth, and all his holy angels." And King Lamoni said, "Is this above the earth?" And Ammon said, "Yea," and he looked down upon all the children of men, and he knows all the thoughts and intents of the heart, for by his hand were they all created from the beginning. And King Lamoni said, I believe all these things which thou hast spoken. Art thou sent from God? Ammon said unto him, I am a man, and man in the beginning was created after the image of God, and I am called by his Holy Spirit to teach these things unto this people, that they may be brought to a knowledge of that which is just and true. And a portion of that Spirit dwelleth in me, which giveth me knowledge and also power according to my faith and desires which are in God. What work did he do among that people? When you read on and you see what happened next, what they seen was incredible. Is it not what we should desire? And it changed them all to where they turned their hearts completely towards God. Are we that way? I hope so. You want to have a relationship with God? Like that. Great trials in your life, because there's so many things that you have to change about your life. Page 399. I'm going to start in the 103rd verse there. And it is Alma chapter 14. Yea, he that repenteth and exerciseth faith and bringeth forth good works and prayeth continually without ceasing, unto such it is given to know the mysteries of God. Yea, unto such it shall be given to reveal things which never have been revealed. Yea, it shall be given unto such to bring thousands of souls to repentance, even as it has been given unto us to bring these our brethren to repentance. The mysteries of the kingdom of heaven, do you know what they are? Do you have a desire to know what they are? Or are we just satisfied where we're at? You know, I want you to go to page 408. I want you to consider this. 407, I'm sorry. And I'll start in verse 52. Oh, that I were an angel and could have the wish of mine heart, that I might go forth and speak with the trump of God with a voice to shake the earth and cry repentance unto every people. Yea, I would declare unto every soul as with the voice of thunder, repentance and the plan of redemption, that they should repent and come unto our God, that they might be all might be no more sorrow upon all the face of the earth. And then what does he say? But behold, I am a man and do sin in my wish, for I ought to be content with the things which the Lord hath allotted unto me. Is it to bring the whole world, the mega church, to us, to make us a mega church? It's not. It never has been. You know, and so what was the purpose of this? And Alma knew, right? And on the next page, verse 60, and he goes down, and I know I'm not going to have time to read all this, but verse 60, I know that which the Lord hath commanded me, and I glory in it. I do not glory of myself, but I glory in the which the Lord hath commanded me. Yea, and this is my glory, that perhaps I may be an instrument in the hands of God to bring some soul to repentance. And this is my joy. It was a great thing that he wanted, as we look at it from man's point of view, but some soul to repentance. It's very targeted. to lose that job at the hospital. And I'd seen great things, and it was just as important for me as it was for my friend. I never cared about losing a job after that. I cried and I asked the Lord to give me that job back, and it wasn't meant to be. You see, there has to be a maturity about when God tells you something or does something about us. That's not where I want you to go. I don't want you in the NBA. I enjoyed that sermon last week. But you know, I tell you, God has great things for us if we desire those things. We just want it our way. I want you to go to page 578. And this is Nephi, after a great trial and a struggle. And so this is God speaking to him. 117. And now, because thou hast done this with such unwaveringness, behold, I will bless thee forever, and I will make thee mighty in word and in deed, in faith and in works, yea, even that all things shall be done unto thee according to thy word. And then there is this: for thou shalt not ask that which is contrary to my will. If you know God's will, would you do it? How about Abraham sacrificing his son? I mean, that's a tough one. Behold, thou art Nephi, and I am God. Behold, I declare it unto thee in the presence of mine angels, that ye may have power over this people, and shall smite the earth with famine and with pestilence and destruction according to the wickedness of this people. Behold, I give unto you power that whatsoever ye shall seal on earth shall be sealed in heaven, and whatsoever ye shall loose on earth shall be loosed in heaven. And thus shall ye have power among this people. There was no more wars, no more pestilence, none of those things, right? That's not the way it is it? See, we're not mature enough to understand that God does things for his purposes, not for ours sometimes. Has to change who we are. It did me. Let's go to page 175. I just write the pages down. I usually don't. Chapter 3 of Jacob, 6 and 7. And for this intent we keep the law of Moses, at pointing our souls to him, and for their cause it is sanctified unto us for righteousness, even as it was accounted unto Abraham in the wilderness to be obedient unto the commandments of God, to offering up his son Isaac, which is a similitude of God and the only begotten Son. Wherefore we searched the prophets, and we have many revelations and spirit of prophecy, and having all these witnesses, we obtain a hope. and our faith become unshaken, in so much that we truly can command in the name of Jesus, and the very trees obey us, or the mountains, or the waves of the sea. To have that relationship with our God, that nothing else matters. You know, there's very few that can get to that point, me included. But I desire to have that. Just like retirement or whatever else, I will get old and won't be able to do those things. I can barely walk now. Doesn't matter. God gives me great opportunities. Why would he place someone in your path if you're never going to talk to him about the gospel? I mean, it was wasted, wasn't it? Page 409. For thus saith, ninth verse of the 16th chapter, Velma. For thus saith the scripture, choose ye this day whom you will serve. I know it says the same thing in the Bible also. Page 655. So this was when Christ came to this land, right? You think it didn't change them? Of course it did. They'd just been through an awful storm. But anyway, Christ shows up, right? And so in the 10th verse, it says this. And when they had ministered those same words which Jesus had spoken, nothing varying from the words which Jesus had spoken, behold, they knelt again and prayed to the Father in the name of Jesus, that they did pray for that which they most desired. And they desired that the Holy Ghost should be given unto them. You know, my two sons were baptized later in life. I say later in life, but wasn't anywhere near 8 years old. And I told him, I said, that when you desire to follow your God with all your mind, with all your might, then you can be baptized. Unless you do that, you're wasting your time. You have to make that covenant with him. And so when they were baptized, I said to them both, I says, my job is done. Now it's the Holy Ghost that's supposed to lead you. You know, we say we're led by the Spirit. We we think, and so what does that look like? And each and every one of you will have a different idea of what that is. I know what the scriptures say. You know, I've seen incredible things done. I desire that for you. I desire that for myself. So, Matthew, the 5th chapter. And I think this will be my last scripture. We're almost out of time anyway. Third verse. Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. What does that mean? You recognize that you're missing something, and that it's the first one because it is something that you should be desiring to have. That you want that relationship with your God, that you want to know what he says, that you hear his voice, and that it changes the very nature of who you are. And I'd like to leave you with that thought. And I hope and pray that you got something out of this message. I do appreciate your time. Thank you very much.